Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So hear me, President Trump, when I say this. To get to any of us, you will have to get through all of us.
Last night, elections around the country. That was Zoran Mamdani, who is now going to be the mayor of New York City come January. There are also races in New Jersey and Virginia, and that Prop 50 vote that happened in California. And across the board, Democrats came out on top. And so we wanted to get Hancock and Kelly in studio. And again, the Mamdani thing, he's gotten most of the attention and has for the weeks leading up to the election. But I think, and Amy and I both have been talking about what this now means moving forward, that there's a bigger picture thing here with implications for 2026. And we saw a lot of the counties in, for example, Virginia moving back to the right from, or I'm sorry, back to the left from where the voting was in 2024. That what does all of this mean? All of those races last night, and we know that, again, New York is New York. They're going to vote blue. But what does it mean that a lot of these counties, even in redder areas, had shifted to the left?
Yeah, even in Georgia, they wound up having three folks that were right Republicans on the, like, the Power Commission get bounced. It just was an anti-Republican vote. We anticipated this historically, right? We see this. The president comes in. The other side, particularly in this Virginia and New Jersey race, they've always kind of gone back the other way. The question for the Democrats, who had a great night from coast to coast, is whether or not they can sustain that wave, if you will, to the upcoming election cycle. You remember that the Republicans were hoping to have a wave against Joe Biden. Remember that red wave conversation we had? Because historically, they should have come back after Joe Biden, and it didn't happen. My biggest takeaway from last night, and I think you're right, Zoran got most of the attention of the evening, but my biggest takeaway is that people were talking about costs and what it costs to be an American right now, living, paying for things. And that was a common theme, regardless of where you were at, from coast to coast.
Yeah. And, you know, I go back and look at the 2009 off year elections. You'll remember that Obama had been president just under a year, very similar circumstance in that regard to Trump. And the Democrats were laid waste in 2009. Republicans won the governorship in New Jersey and in Virginia. Coming around to the 2010 election was a massive Republican wave. They took control of the Congress, and Scott Brown got elected in Massachusetts that year, a Republican. So I think these off-cycle elections can portend quite a bit a year in advance. I don't think it has much implication on the 2028 presidential cycle, but I think you're looking at a 2028 26 election that the Democrats certainly are going to take the House, even with all the funny business out there.
It's all about the redistricting.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a tougher slog to the Senate for them just because of the makeup of the seats that are on the table. But a couple of bad nominees in Republican primaries, I'm thinking about Texas and some other places, the Democrats could take the Senate.
And we all hand-wrung and stuff and had conversations about, is the Democratic Party dead, you know, after the last election? And they didn't really have a leader. There was nobody who was emerging. What we did see here, and it just happens through natural pushback of the status quo, is we did see issues start to emerge where Democrats were coalescing voters behind them. And I think that's the biggest takeaway, is the Democratic Party is finding a way to push back against the Republicans now. Even with Zohran up in New York, while they wanted to talk about his religion, while they wanted to talk about some of maybe the extremist positions he had, if you go and read most of his core messages, it was about costs, inflation, tariffs, affordability.
Well, that's what Trump went on in 24.
Yeah.
Well, and that's why I think when you look at the lesson that can be learned from this, which to me is amazing that you have to learn the lesson that the political momentum swings from one side of the pendulum to the next. I mean, we always see that, is that the Republicans are falling for, you know, the snapshot fallacy, that this moment where Republicans are in power is forever, that this is the bent of the country, that, you know, woke is dead, you know, all of that is gone. And that's why you see Trump saying things like, let's get rid of the filibuster. If you don't get rid of the filibuster, he said this yesterday, you know, Republicans aren't going to win. And they're bulldozing these fail safes. They are leveling the barriers that slowed down the application of political agendas, which are there to bring stability to our country. So why in the world would Trump and MAGA Republicans level the landscape, get rid of the barriers, only to lose office?
Because they're bad at politics. You know, Trump's very good at connecting with folks that are struggling and hurting and angry. He's very good. Uniquely gifted in that regard, I would argue. But he and his team are really bad at politics. And this whole redistricting thing, they're creating a bunch of these 52-53% Republican districts, in theory. And I think, especially in Texas, where the Latino vote, if you look at the Latino vote performance in public opinion polls as it relates to Trump, I mean, it's like really bad. And they're creating these supposed pickup districts. I think they're going to end up losing them, more than a few of them, and because they're really bad at politics. They don't understand politics.
Not that I'm defending Donald Trump and what he's up to, but these may be the only cards he has to play. Was to come up with a way to try to hold on to Congress by doing this redistricting, which was against the norms, which is against everything. You know, the Senate potentially could be in play, but what the president potentially faces, since Congress hasn't done oversight for the past 9 months and doesn't appear like it's going to do it for the future months that we have until Congress changes, they face investigations. Donald Trump knows that if the House or the Senate were to flip in this government, we're going to start to have hearings about how we tore down walls and what we're up to with ICE, et cetera. And that's not happening right now. That's why I think he's playing the only cards he has, John, which is try to pull off a Hail Mary pass on this redistricting stuff.
Could be, but it's
otherwise,
it's
his
dumb.
2 years are going to be miserable.
Yeah.
Good, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
So does this, what about, because Michael, you're talking about messaging, and Mamdani's messaging has really been about economics. It's all been about how expensive New York is for people who live there, you know, groceries, rent, healthcare, so on and so forth. Does this say anything about all of the other stuff that Republicans have kind of been focused on, like the trans stuff and DEI? And even though it worked in the last election in 2024, does it mean that maybe people weren't voting so much on those things, that they really were voting on economy and affordability and all that?
I don't know. It was a pretty piercing message that the Trump campaign had in those last couple of months that they were running on trans, where we were debating that issue. I think what we're seeing is the pocketbook far outweighs all of these peripheral issues when the rubber meets the road. And this is the first time the voters have had their chance to speak since they've gotten all these promises that prices were going to come down on day one, that the wars were going to end, that things are great, you know, that we've got all this money and that tariffs are going to work for them. They're not seeing it, and pocketbooks win in the day.
Yeah, if you're having to make a decision whether to put ground beef in your spaghetti, the fact that trans kids are swimming in the pool down the road at school is seemingly less important, I think.
Yeah, this I listened to a really, really good conversation with Yuval Levin and Jonah Goldberg, and I love Yuval Levin. And to that point, he said, even in this populist moment, it's really important to take our leaders seriously because they do matter, because Trump was able to cause the right to abandon all of its prior set of principles and focus solely on a set of resentments that were there but had never been prioritized to this level. And he ran on resentment and anger.
Yeah, anger is a powerful motivator. The angry voter, whatever you may think of them, they vote. And, you know, folks that are just kind of drifting along and going through life, not paying a lot of attention, you know, and the Democrat voter and some traditional Republican voters are angry at what's happening in Washington right now. Not just Donald Trump, but the House is not functional. The whole Congress is, you know, doing nothing. And those angry voters vote, and I suspect those angry voters will be voting Democrat in 2026.
One of the interesting things of the Trump election this last time around was the amount of Latino support he got. And you pointed that out, John. We saw Latinos who are typically, you know, Catholic, right of center, that had identified with Donald Trump moving back in huge numbers. I mean, I don't know what more evidence they needed than realize that Donald Trump wasn't a friend of Latinos. Heck, he even says it. But that was a big takeaway last night, too. That's problematic for the president and the Republican parties in the states where they, you know, have a stranglehold. And Texas is one of those places that folks like me hope every year is going to finally turn blue. But John highlighted it. The Republicans have got two bad candidates, and they've got a lot of mad Latinos against them. It could be the perfect storm this time.
Could.
And also, the president last night on Truth Social said it, and then he basically said it again today to Republican senators, that they that he thought Republicans lost on the shutdown, that people, and then I'm paraphrasing, that they are blaming Republicans for it, and that's what happened in these races last night. When you really break down the numbers and look at counties and so on and so forth, do you think that's true? Do you think?
Yeah, but don't you think there's some more subliminal stuff there too, Ranj? As people have been watching folks get taken off of streets, we all see it in the news. Doesn't matter where you live, it's happening in St. Louis. It's happening in Mississippi. It's not just in California. And you couple that with the fact that they've watched the president go receive gold crowns, tear down the White House, tell us some stuff. I think it's a culmination of all of it that's lining up.
Yeah, the shutdown, if you look at the numbers, it's not overwhelming that the Republicans are taking the blame on it. I mean, they are, you know, more than the Democrats are. But that polling is not particularly wide, you know, a wide gap. I think it's just, I think it's the cost of living. These ridiculously stupid tariffs that are raising the cost for everybody out there. I mean, Amy, you talked about Republicans walking away from their historical precepts. Tariff policy has been 90 years since that was a thing. And what we're doing now is dumb. It's stupid. And every, you know, Rand Paul, to his credit, and now I think there's, what, four senators have voted for a resolution to reject tariffs for Republican senators. So, I mean, some folks are starting to wake up to that. But that particular economic policy is devastating to our economy. It's devastating to our foreign relationships in the world. And it's devastating to America's reputation in the world. And it needs to change.
But is that message going to be heard from the White House, that the tariff thing's not working? Mike Johnson's clearly showed us that he surrendered his existence to Donald Trump. John Thune's remaining silent. But do you think the Republicans are realizing what happened to them last night, that they've maybe got to distance themselves from the policies of Trump, not Trump?
I hope. We did a whole postmortem after poor Mitt Romney got defeated in 2012, you know, and we had all these things. This is what the party's got to do. And we turned around and elected Donald Trump.
This is just kind of weird. I was gaming this out in my head this morning in the shower. I was just thinking, isn't there something twisted about America? I think we like the fact that Donald Trump, the voters out there, like the fact that Donald Trump's there and he's this bunking Bronco, and they actually want to see somebody fight with them and push them back. I think there's some weird psychology that's going on.
That's 100% correct.
That they want him, but at the same time, they want him to be facing this resistance. They want him under investigation.
Well, it's fascinating to say the least, isn't it?
Yeah.
Michael Kelly, John Hancock, and John, I know you, can you stick around, guys, for just a few more minutes?
I suppose.
Yeah. John's got an update about his family friend that he has told us about over the last several days, one who is on the verge of being deported despite committing no real crimes here in this country. So we'll get an update from John when we come back on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Chris Ronji, Amy Mark scores with you. John Hancock and Michael Kelly are in studio. And John, last week, at the end of last week, you gave us, you told us a story about a close friend of yours who is dealing with the awful prospect of being deported. He's a husband. He is a father to two little ones. I guess as you give us the update, do you want to give us set the table quickly about this gentleman again?
So my daughter's best friend from preschool through high school was going to St. Louis U for college and working at a restaurant. She met one of the guys was a cook at the restaurant. They fell in love and they got married. They've had two kids. They have a house in De Pere, I believe. And on his way to work, it'll be 2 weeks ago tomorrow, he was followed from his driveway to his place of employment and arrested by ICE. And he's been incarcerated ever since. So, and it looks like the best case scenario at this point is that he gets sent back to Mexico, but there's no guarantee of that. He had spent with a lawyer in Houston, Texas some years ago, $15,000, and the lawyer advertised that they can get your papers. And he did, in fact, get a Social Security card. He got a driver's license. He thought he was fine.
All on the up and up.
And this law firm was committing fraud. And so when they got busted by the feds, all of their case files are there. This fellow's name was in there. And so he thinks he's here legally, but he's not. And so they picked him up. He's never broken a law. I mean, he's a sweetheart of a guy. And he's got a 3-year-old and an 8-month-old. And he's in prison right now. And they're going to have a hearing of some sort. It's not clear to me. ICE doesn't tell him anything. Mm-hmm. They've got a good, reputable immigration attorney the family has hired at considerable cost, I'm sure. And, I think at this point, given what has happened with ICE, where they're just sending folks to these prison camps all over, the best thing you can hope for is that this young man can return to the family that he does have in Mexico, but there's no guarantee of it, and it's just horrifying.
And you said again, so his wife is American. His wife is one of the best friends of your daughter, mm-hmm. daughters. Grown up together. He's got an American wife, 2 young American kids. He's a breadwinner.
Yep.
He's supporting the family. He's supporting his wife. Supporting his kids. He has been here for years.
Yep.
He tried to do everything the right way with going through this law firm. Mm-hmm. And the law firm, he's a victim of this fraudulent law firm who took his money and gave him whatever it was fake, where he had a Social Security number, a driver's license. He thought he was on the up and up. He's abducted by ICE. And you told me that there's a real chance that this guy, like you said, has not committed a crime, could end up in...
I don't know how much of a chance. I mean, we don't know anything.
We don't know anything. But right. Like you said, he's a loving, tender guy. I mean, think of people listening now. Like, I'm thinking of my brother, who's 32.
Mm-hmm.
And you potentially, worst case scenario, you're thrown into a prison camp in El Salvador.
I can't think about it.
And his little 3-year-old is asking where daddy is.
Yep.
His wife is, I mean, I like you said, best case scenario, they all pack up and move to Mexico. This is so cruel and unnecessary. It's detestable.
Detestable policy. It's just such, it's reprehensible.
Everybody's in favor of folks that come here and are breaking the law and violating the law and, stealing or whatever. Everybody's in favor of shipping those folks out. But that's not what's going on. And this guy, I am told by folks that are in the immigration business that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of folks just exactly like this guy, living their lives, paying taxes, raising a family, that are caught up in this and being deported out of our country. And I'll tell you what, I mean, this is personal for me, but if you look at it from the standpoint of our country, we're taking productive citizens who are paying taxes,
yep.
contributing to their communities, raising children that are going to be productive members of society, and we're just yanking them out of the country. That's going to hurt. We will pay, as a nation, a price for this policy. I guarantee it.
Well, when you get an update again, John, we'll, course we want to talk about it. So it's just, it's terrible. And I mean, I think we could all see this coming. We could see it coming last year, at the end of last year, and now it's here, and it's happening, and it's happening to good people who are doing nothing wrong.
Yep.
So that's
it's so awful. I couldn't sleep last night.
It's indefensible.
Yes.
It's just indefensible.
So cruel.
Yeah,
and we have a person watching on Facebook named John who says this is not America anymore.
That's correct.
And I will say this is not American. What is happening to these people is not American.
If you want to get the worst of the worst, go get the worst of the worst and send them out. Not somebody who was working in a kitchen and doing good, or a business owner like the gentleman in Staunton, Illinois, who owned a business, a restaurant. and people would come to it and the community came out to support him. That's a person who was contributing to his community and they just snatched him and took him out. That's not what any of us want. And if you do want that, you need to figure it out. You need to figure out what's wrong with you. Hancock and Kelly with us. We appreciate you guys. Thanks for coming in today. We'll talk to you Friday.
See you Friday.
It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Well, it's a Wednesday, and that means it's time for our midweek, midday, midlife conversation. This specific topic is really interesting to me, specifically the stat. I'm going to set up a stat here because we are going to get to an interview that was on Anderson Cooper not too long ago with Scott Galloway. And they were discussing this specific statistic, which is 45% of men aged 18 to 25 have never approached a woman in person, like to talk to her, ask her out. So again, 45%, that's almost half, of men 18 to 25 have never approached a woman in person. The obvious question here is our producer, Matt Pajeski, who was recently in that age group. Have you ever approached a lady?
Yes.
Does this statistic surprise you?
It does. I think that's really high. I know like I'm at the higher end of that study, but man, I still can't believe like high school kids go to school with the other gender. You think they'd ask somebody out after class or...
Just real quick, when we say approach a lady,
yeah.
We don't mean like accidentally tripped and stumbled and fell into somebody, you know?
Oh, then, well, I have
like,
done
have that. You on like intentionally gone up to a woman and talked to her? Okay.
And I think, yeah.
Come on. I'm not.
But were your friends?
Yeah. Have they approached women before?
Yeah.
Yes. My friends who are married and have kids have approached women before.
I think John Hancock has officially never asked a woman out on a date.
Wow.
Because somehow I think his first date with his now wife, Georgianne, was set up tangentially by someone else.
Oh, So maybe John's never actually talked to a woman? Is that what you're saying?
Well, never. I don't know. No.
I think you're implying that John has never...
I don't know. I think he told me he's never asked someone out on a date, but I'm not
sure. That just can't be true.
Text him. In the meantime, I want to play this clip from Scott Galloway. This is Scott Galloway on CNN talking with Anderson Cooper about young men and why they're not going up and asking ladies out on dates.
45% of men 18 to 25 have never approached a woman in person.
Never asked a woman out in person. And what they're up against, think about it. Our economy literally rests on 10 companies now, often referred to as the Magnificent 10. And they do several things, but quite frankly, they're in the business of enragement, polarization, and then sequestering young people from all other activities.
That's only getting worse given where AI is going. I mean, it was like, agents and chatbots who are, sexily clad anime type figures chatting with young men.
Well, it starts pretty innocent. When you use AI, have you noticed the prompts that are almost irresistible at the end? Let me put this into a series of tweets.
Right.
Before you know it, you're 3 hours deep. Mm-hmm. But effectively, these companies have attached the entire economy and literally trillions of dollars to trying to get people to convince young people, specifically young men who are more susceptible because, quite frankly, their prefrontal cortices isn't as developed, to try and convince them they can have a reasonable facsimile of life online. Why go through the hierarchy of trying to make friends? It's not easy, right? Why try to figure out how to navigate a corporate, all this when you can go on Reddit or Discord and find friends, or you can trade crypto or stocks on Robinhood or Coinbase? And why, Anderson, would you go through the rejection, the dressing well, the effort, the expense, the humiliation, developing a kindness practice of trying to establish a romantic partnership when you have literally lifelike synthetic porn? So what are we doing? I think we have our economy attached to one objective, and that is to evolve a new species of asocial, asexual males. Unintentionally, we have an economic interest right now, I would argue, in planning our own extinction.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
yeah.
Pretty intense. It's a pretty intense conversation, but I'm so cynical and distrusting of tech bros and the AI world. And I do think there is something to be said that for this idea of just engaging, enticing, and entrapping young men, specifically all people, but specifically young men in this virtual world where you won't face rejection and you'll get this AI ideal woman or whatever it may be. And they'll live in that world rather than the real world. And because if sex sells, right? Sex is always sold. It's the world's oldest profession. So now we enter the world of AI. And if sex sells, in order for them to cut back on that would be committing econocide on the part of those companies. And why would those companies commit econocide?
Professor Galloway, if you remember a couple of months ago, he was the guy who argued that but younger people, so we're talking about the early 20s crowd, that they need to go out and drink more. And he wasn't saying you need to go out and become an alcoholic, but mm-hmm. what he was saying is you need to go socialize. It's an activity that a lot of younger people are not doing. And of course, in terms of health, alcohol is not great for you. We all know that. But the point he's trying to make is socializing isn't happening at the level it used to happen at when we were younger, when we were in our mid-20s, mm-hmm. that's what we would do. We would go out and we'd you drink with friends, you meet people while you're out. That there is a social aspect to the way younger people were that isn't present now. And that is, down the road, it's going to be very unhealthy for us as a collective society, that we are staying in silos. We are exposing ourselves to fewer people. I don't mean like actually exposing. I mean like you're not meeting as many people as you used to meet. And I do feel sorry for younger generations for it being like this, because there is a man, there's a lot of fun to socializing. There's a lot of fun to being out and about and meeting new people and going home one night and the next day you realize I made a friend yesterday, and maybe that friend is part of your life for the rest of your life. And you didn't meet that person online. You met them right there. You were a foot away from them. And there is a huge, great value in living that way. And so I totally agree with him. And I think that this could only be bad down the road. The question is, how do we come back from it? I'm not sure how you stop this tide, because AI is just going to continue to get stronger. I don't see a reeling in of the social media platforms either. It would have to be something concerted, and it would have to be institutional. Laws would have to be passed to make sure that kids, younger people, are not just, you know, constantly spending all of their free time on social media or using AI or ChatGPT or whatever. Because I don't see parents regulating it to the point it needs to be regulated. So how are we going to do this? It seems to me we're headed down a path right now that is not going to change.
I think they're needs to be a two-pronged approach, and hopefully they work in conjunction with each other, and hopefully we've started both approaches. The first one being legislation, rules, restrictions. We restrict access to R-rated movies. We restrict access to strip clubs, and, you know, AI, the virtual world, is a real world now. It's very real for kids. So if we are restricting kids in the tangible world, for obvious reasons, society has said, you know, it's not great that a 14-year-old goes to a strip club or sees sexually graphic images or even violent images, then we need to add restrictions and as many protections as we can in social media. And I think some of it will have to be social media companies, which I don't trust. Some of it's going to have to be, like we said, state and federal legislation, although legislation is always behind the technology, right? A lot of these Congress people don't even know what they're talking about when it comes to social media apps. We can't have a conversation about an 84-year-old congressman and then also think that that guy is going to be super up to date on restrictions on TikToks for kids. It's just not how it works, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to have to figure out how to keep up. I think the second prong would be more organic, which I hope we're seeing. And that is, are there going to be some kids who saw, unfortunately, the generation we sacrificed on the altar of technology, and in the words of Mark Zuckerberg, moving fast and breaking things. Are they going to see, man, I don't like what's happening as far as becoming less social, becoming addicted to your phones, not having basic social skills like calling a pizza place, and rejecting that a little bit? Because we already talked about how some Gen Z and younger are longing for Gen X technology.
You just have to hope that that's true at large scale.
And I don't think it is yet.
No.
I don't think it is.
Well, but it's also difficult when they don't even know what they're missing.
100% true. And that's the thing, is I've seen some Gen Zers figure out what they're missing. I've yet to see a Gen Alpha say, I don't want this phone. Because Gen Alpha's 11. You
right.
know, I mean, all the Gen Alpha kids I know want the phones, are constantly on TikTok, are victims of brain rot. And yes, I get it, the parents and the home, but we as a society need to help out a little bit.
I don't trust tech companies
no.
to do the right thing here, because their motivating fact, their whole drive is to see how far they can take the technology. That's all they care about. Whatever they talk about, guardrails oh, we need to implement this and we need to do that to make sure that we protect people. They don't really care. What they care about is to see how far they can push the tech and see what it can do. It's like it's like a test pilot. The whole purpose of a test pilot is to get into a plane and do dangerous maneuvers to see if the thing, what it's capable of.
And no,
so that they can use it in the real world. And that's exactly what tech companies are doing.
Yeah, and AI, humanity is an experiment. And I will say this too. If you think, well, why did Sam Altman call for regulation? Why did Mark Zuckerberg?
He has to be publicly.
Well, he has to publicly, but guess what else? A a lot of regulation keeps small businesses and small competitors out of the market.
Very true.
Only big tech companies can survive the massive regulations that they're calling for, whether it comes in the form of compensation or just rules, whatever you have to do, it's going to keep anybody from trying to make their own startup to challenge the extant tech companies. So no, these tech companies know nothing but, as Ranj said, pushing the boundaries, self-preservation, and exploiting whatever they can in human weakness and vulnerabilities. That's what they do. They exploit human vulnerabilities.
We made this part of our midday midlife today because, well, I mean, people in their midlife have kids who are of this age. And, you know, I guess the best thing to do is be aware of it. And hopefully as a parent, you can help guide behavior. And if the kid is young enough, you can tell them exactly what they can and can't do because you're a parent and they eat your food and live in your house. So it's your rules, right?
It's not a resort.
And it is not a democracy in your home.
It is a, my dad used to call it a benevolent dictatorship.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good, I think.
It is. Homes are communist.
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest.
Amy Marks, Kors, Chris Ranji. Don't forget the Gas House Gang. 12 o'clock, it'll be Tom Ackerman and me. We will talk to Danny Wexelman at 12:30. We'll talk baseball with her. Jason Sklar, you know the Sklar brothers from St. Louis? Well, Jason's going to be on the show at 12:45, just to spite Kevin, because they're good friends. So we stole his friend. Also, the new sporting director for City SC, a press conference is expected to happen, and that is going to be at 12 o'clock, so we will bring that to you. Their new director is Chris Ray. Not Christopher Ray. Christopher
Chris Ray.
Ray?
The Christopher, FBI guy?
Yeah, Christopher Ray. No longer with the FBI. He is now running City SC.
Corey Ray.
Corey Ray is the name of City SC's new sporting director. Wouldn't that be something?
I was going to hang around for that conversation.
Oh, he is? Wow.
I didn't see that coming.
No, I mean, City Park's not too far from the FBI field office here, so there you go. We will have that press conference for you at noon o'clock on KMOX.
We always love your texts at 314-436-7900. Here's a text from a 314. This is producer Matt's mom. Again, as a kid, Matthew used to pray, and God bless Johnny Mathis. Maybe he does like Christmas.
I told you. That's Halloween, too.
She confirmed.
It's extremely weird of you, you know?
No, I think it's adorable. You know,
Johnny Mathis, that's who you picked of everybody?
Mom, Dad, and Johnny Mathis.
Mom, Dad, and Johnny Mathis.
Johnny Mathis?
And you had siblings.
I did. Shows you where they rank on my list.
There's just so many good
artists. We need to reach out to Johnny Mathis.
I was like 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah, your taste was terrible at 4 or 5 years old.
No, it's great.
I think it's adorable. We were talking about phones and AI, social media, and the harm that it's causing. Society in general, Big Blonde Dan texts in, agree. Companies/politicians need to put restrictions in place, and I hope older kids see that issue, but we need parents to step up. No 11-year-old is buying the phone. Come on, parents.
Yeah, parents, do your jobs. It's not that hard.
Does Big Blonde Dan have kids?
I think he does.
Question mark?
I think he does. We'll ask him. Yeah, I'm sure he'll text him.
But yes, I mean, you do. Like Grange said, it's your house. It's not a democracy. Yeah. Take the phone. Look at the phone. Don't buy a phone. Whatever you need to do, treat it like heroin. That's what I would do. No heroin in this house.
There was the conversation we had with John Hancock about his friend, a family friend who is on the verge of being deported, even though they've committed no crime here. And, you know, a young guy in early 30s who's done nothing wrong and could potentially end up in El Salvador. It's just a really devastating situation. And
we just don't know where he'll be. Yeah,
don't we have no idea?
They're not telling him anything.
Yeah, which is the worst part, is that they're not giving information and he's had no ability to defend himself. So we mentioned the man in Staunton who was the business owner there who was taken to the St. Genevieve facility and he's committed no crime. And a texter says that guy was deported 4 times before he knew what was needed to be done to become a citizen. And here's the thing about somebody like that. I kind of don't care. It does not affect my life in a negative way, one way or another. You know, it doesn't affect your life in a negative way that a person comes here technically illegally. But if they set up shop and they create a business and they contribute to the community, why would you not want them here? It just doesn't make sense to me. I wish that the avenue to get into the United States was easier for him. Maybe he did it illegally because it was so difficult to get here. But the guy tried to do it right in the end. He set up shop. He created a business that his community loved, and they came out by the hundreds to support him. Why would we want to deport that person?
I think once you've closed the border, you've secured the border. I mean, Trump has shut down illegal crossings. You have to be so careful when you're looking at the people who are already here. The worst of the worst, I think we all agree, right? But going into communities and tearing fathers and husbands away from their three-year-old and eight-month-old because of, you know, what happened 15, 20 years ago, that's not the way. That's not the way.
Nope.
You've closed the border. I get it. That's okay, good. It's secure or whatever. But you have to be surgical. Going in and abducting people with unmarked cars and masked faces is not it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.